This is Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back to the fastest growing show in Sacramento, Styles and Watkins. And Nate had something to say, and he's not alone. He's not alone in the feelings that some people may have about Mason Jones, and is what he has been doing too much? Is it too much? This is from Folsom Mike. Agree. No one cares what Mason Jones says.
Y'all are harsh.
Give me a dude that plays, not a cheerleader. As for the players, they knew he was mic'd up, so no biggie there. That's from Folsom Mike.
Can I get a what do people want him to do then? Like, do they want him to just be LaMelo Ball chilling on the sideline, laughing when they're down 10? Like,
he's doing too much.
Distracting the bench.
Do you have the sound ready, Nate?
Yes, yes. This is a
clip from NBC Sports California when they mic'd up Mason Jones. Now, this is just him throughout the game. The big one that we're trying to figure out is what he is saying when a timeout is called or there's a stoppage in play and he runs onto the court. We don't have that, but this is a compilation that they came up with from their mic'd up of him just pumping up during the game. Here you go, Nate.
Yes, sir. Great defense, Davion. Great pressure, Davion. Great pressure, Davion. Great pressure, Davion. Yeah! Let's go, Bismarck. We bring the energy. We bring the energy, Bismarck. Yeah! Get out of here, Alex.
That's just great stuff. That's just great stuff. This is the man you're hating on, huh?
Dude.
That's crazy.
I guess I'm just such a negative guy.
It's not, no, I mean.
No, I'm like, I would just be like, dude, you're not playing. I don't know. Maybe because when I would play sports
in high
school. So
what, you're just supposed to give up? Like,
no,
you're just
but he's just
to
doing
not,
too much. He's doing too
so
much.
What's
I don't
the
know
right
how
amount?
Else to
what
say
is,
it.
What is the right amount of support that you're supposed to give your team from the bench?
You don't need, like what Bridget said, you don't need to run out.
Why not?
Half court. It's because it's too much and it's annoying. Chris, how
dude,
do you not
well,
get annoyed
know
by
if
this?
It's annoying?
Because I'm a great teammate. I honestly do pride myself on being a great teammate, and Mason Jones is doing nothing but supporting his team and asking the others on the bench to support the team that they play for.
We don't know that anybody finds it annoying besides some fans.
And we're probably never going to know unless there's some controversial like slip up or something. A lot of stuff we don't know.
As long as he's not giving them pointers on the actual gameplay, I think it's fine. Here you go. From
he just
the-
did. He did when he's like, good pressure with the pressure.
What? No, stop I'm it. Saying, hey, you should have shot the gap here. Yeah. You should have went
hey,
under
yo,
that screen.
Hey, Dame actually likes to do this. Like,
right.
I've been watching the film, and we
that
we
is
know
where
that, like,
the playing yes. time is affected, yes. not yeah. just general statements. Here you go. This is from the 916. I think there has been a huge energy shift since he has been there. He did an interview saying that he was the same way in Stockton.
Yes.
The role he's in, and it's not for attention. That's
I
from
definitely,
the 916.
Yeah, like if there, I disagree with that. This is him putting on a show. Like, I do think that this is just kind of the player he is, and I don't know. Like, I don't see how, like, if you're annoyed by it, okay, but to then say he needs to stop because he might be affecting the team in a negative way, mm-hmm. I think that's just like that's kind of crazy. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I think it's different. I think it's different to have the opinion as a fan, but I don't care about what the fans think in that regard. I care about whether or not it feels like the players find it annoying.
Right.
And I personally just think that if somebody wanted him to tone it down, yeah. he would have toned it down. He said out loud, hey, bench mob. He is the captain, if you will, yes. of the bench mob.
Right.
So he's got to get them going. He's got to get them going.
And this is a team that shows no emotion either.
Exactly. Like, this is what I personally asked for. Curtis Hicks, are we really having a discussion about guys cheering their
crazy.
Team on? Can Mason Jones live? Robert Tamayo, yes. Nate sounds like a hater. Come on.
yeah.
From the 916, Chris is right. Too many people hating on Mason's positivity. He's being a supportive teammate, and that's what is needed, especially after the last month of how this team has
Man.
Played with its turbulent nature.
Because, like, again, imagine if he were doing, I mean, and, you know, sure, whatever. It doesn't have to be the complete opposite. It doesn't have to be this or negative. But, you know, like, if he's not bringing this energy, the possibility of the negative energy seeping in, he's just not even allowing them to feel negative. That's the thing. Like, right. If you're going to feel negative, it's going to be because you yourself are putting it on yourself, not because the general vibe is down. And he's trying to keep the vibes up for a team that's been inconsistent all year.
Right.
They could use a bit of consistency on the bench. I think Mason going to the bench and every time he's going to up you, it makes you feel like, all right, like, I mean, maybe things aren't as bad as what it feels. And,
yeah.
You know,
there have been some bad losses in there.
I don't see how you could view this as negative. For the team.
Like,
your own personal experience,
yes.
I get. Mm-hmm. But to say that this is affecting the team and people are annoyed by it, I just think, like, these guys played in college basketball. They've been playing their entire careers here. Mm-hmm. Basketball, obviously. Like, I think that this is just a part of the game.
Yeah, and it's just a team that needs it.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody like that.
It's
from Jess Escoto, the world would be a better place if there were more Mason Jones in the world. Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? Which side you're on? What side are you on?
I cannot believe we're having this conversation, boys. I am beside myself, dude. Out of all the things that we can have a conversation about, we're having a conversation about a man who is on the bench, who, yes, is not seeing any play time, but is literally just trying to be a part of the team, who is being a hype man. We talk about we need dogs on this team, and there's no dogs on this team, but yet Mason Jones is the only dog that's really out here showing any kind of emotion. And everybody else is just, you know, pouting back to the bench or being sad boy back to the bench and all that fun stuff. Like, nah, dude, I am completely with this, and I cannot believe that we are having this conversation about, out of all the things that we could talk about, defense, making free throws, all this fun stuff. We're talking about a guy that's on the bench. That's going to be a topic of conversation amongst fans. We need to do better.
Thanks for the call, Steven. Hey, look, let's just be clear here. Nate is not alone.
Well,
all right?
To be fair, you guys talk about defense and three-pointers every day. So this is a little wrench into the conversation. Let's spice it up.
Yeah, no.
We're spicing it up.
No, we're not
Steven.
Defending it. Like I said, if everybody – look, the only way something can be a conversation is if people have different opinions on it. If Nate said
– Nate's here has a different opinion.
Yes.
We got a caller that had a different
–
that had the same opinion. And we had a texter who had that
YouTube
same opinion.
YouTube chat, a couple people too.
Right. Nate said, hey, I got this question. If he asked that question and – every comment was, Nate, you sound crazy, we would have moved on.
Yep.
But that wasn't the situation.
Yep.
People agree with Nate, and you're allowed to have an opinion because that's just kind of what this is. Here you go from the 831. The fact that this is interesting. The fact that the organization, and again, he never really even gets close to suiting up, which I think is what 831 is alluding to. The fact that the organization felt that they needed Mason Jones for this.
No.
Says everything you need to know.
No, but that's, and that's not true, though.
But Chris, he doesn't even,
no, but
he
Mason
never plays.
Jones isn't on the team. He got a two-way contract because Keon Ellis's two-way contract got turned into an actual contract, and so they had to give somebody that two-way contract. Mason Jones was already balling in Stockton, and they told it, like, this was all part of the plan. This was not we need energy. Who's the guy on Stockton who always has that energy? Mm-hmm. This was like the team needed a backup point guard or a third point guard option possibly. He's there for that. And he brings it's not just he brought the energy and they saw that and they saw that the big club needed it and that's why he's here. He earned the two-way contract through his play in Stockton. And since the opportunity arose for him to get that spot because Keon Ellis got converted, he then took that spot. And again, he's not getting minutes. And so this is – now you can spin it, sure – but this is his way of showing his impact. It's his way of getting noticed. If you want to say it's attention hogging, that's one way of viewing it. I would frame it as he is showing one of the many things that makes him valuable to a basketball team. Even if not everybody can play, there's very few limited spots for actual rotation minutes. This is how you have a career in the NBA, is by being a good, positive bench influence. And maybe it ends up him starting, but I'll tell you what, I bet Mason Jones is at the least going to be on the training camp roster next year. And, you know, I'm not going to knock his hustle.
I think that is part of it, though. Nobody has really seen him play.
Yeah.
So, again, this is just from the fan standpoint, not the player standpoint. Maybe from a fan, it's just, why is this guy even here? They don't even get close to playing him. I don't care. I don't personally care. I think that people know what you're going to get with him. If you're not in the mood, you just dap him up and keep it pushing, right? It's loud enough in there. I don't think he's in anybody's ear. I mean, we just played the sound. But yeah, some fans maybe just have not, they don't really know why he's here, which leads to why 831 is saying that, because we haven't seen him do anything besides that, which is maybe a little bit unfair. This is from the 916. Mason is bringing the energy the team lost when Dele left.
Yeah.
I think it is a welcome addition to the culture of the 2024 team. From Amid Rock.
Big difference there. Dele, champion.
Nate, okay.
Champion veteran, not a two-way guy. He was around. That's way different.
But he's not playing. He didn't play.
He definitely played more than Mason Jones. Yes, he did, Chris.
He did, but mean, he had a full season, and I mean, he
would get minutes, and it was funny. We would track it. We'd be like, oh, it's Dele time.
He
would get the court. He did get some minutes that weren't just garbage time.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, but the last thing I want to say, we spent a half hour on this. I didn't mean to do this to you guys. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with Mason Jones as a person. It might sound like that, but it's more just like a competitive standpoint in the moment. The guy seems really cool. I don't want it to come off as like I'm trying to,
That kind of sounds like you don't like his energy.
It's not him as a person. I was going to say on the court, but the man's not on the court unless he's high-fiving someone. So.
When we come back, we will discuss whether or not the Kings found their free throw guy. Also, a former King's son is entering the transfer portal. Kings find a way to get him? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Fate of the world at one person's fingertips. And it looks like that person, Chris, is not Harrison Barnes.
That's right.
Is not Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Is not De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. Is not DeMontis Sabonis. Yeah. That person is Keegan Murray.
That's right. And to take it back to our initial conversation, we kind of said it, but there was a big precursor of it just feels like we couldn't say it because of his situation. But here we are sitting here on what is today, March 18th, and Keegan Murray has made – now this shocked me when I saw it initially. Keegan Murray has made 32 consecutive free throws. Which, like, in the grand scheme of things, that's four games for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, but...
But, beggars can't be choosers. Keegan Murray has made 32 straight. It kind of took him a month and some change to get there. But he has made 32 consecutive free throws.
That is incredible.
That is a very welcome sight to a team that is the worst free throw shooting team in the NBA. The thing that makes me say is... We need to get Keegan. That's the next step of development for Keegan. We saw him put the ball on the ground this year. We saw him, you know, create a little bit more space for his shot. Next season, I want to see Keegan Murray getting to the line at least once a game. Mm-hmm. We got to see that number be 2 to 4 free throws per game for Keegan next year, because this is proof that he can definitely be the best free throw shooter on this team. I know Malik was at 89% last year, but Keegan's the best shooter on the team. He's pretty consistent with his mechanics as well. It makes sense for him to be the best free throw shooter. It's just when we had the initial conversation of laser beam, aliens coming down, fate of the universe on the line, who's taking the free throw, we just couldn't trust that the sample size was big enough to say Keegan's definitely confident enough to step up to the line in that pressure of a situation and knock down two of them. So 32 in a row, I'm starting to feel good about it. And even recently, he's taken more free throws here in the past couple games. So I'm feeling good about Keegan's free throws.
I'm still not picking him.
Okay.
Because
there's also a clutch element of it.
Yeah, haven't seen Keegan in that situation, yeah. Right? He's not getting to the cup.
That's right.
In clutch time or in crunch time. He's getting to the cup earlier on in the game. So we haven't seen him make any high-level free throws.
Yeah.
I would like to see that, and the only way you're going to see that is if he continues to drive the basketball when it matters most. I mean, Saturday was a great opportunity. Yep. There was just nobody that could do anything outside of the arc and inside of the arc. De'Aaron couldn't get going. Sabonis got shut down. It would have been a great opportunity for Keegan. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, in theory, he is the guy that you should. Everybody has a Keegan Murray that you can trust at the line
right.
like that. And it looks like you're on your way to getting that with Keegan Murray. But I'm not there quite yet. But 32 in a row, I will definitely take that.
At the very least, like, he should be taking the technicals, right? Like, I know.
I would say so.
Yeah, because we've
just
seen
get him
much.
Used to it.
Yeah.
Get him used to it. Mm-hmm. No more round robin with the technicals.
No.
Malik, I'm sorry.
You've lost it.
You're
lost
done.
That spot.
Harrison.
Lost it.
It's less about Harrison losing it and more about I want Keegan to be that guy for the next whatever amount of years.
Boom. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
No. And then Harrison will miss him sometimes.
He will too. And I'm sure Keegan will too. I definitely think that, you know, the first, you're totally right in saying Keegan's free throws do tend to come early in the game. And, you know, Keegan's a pretty timid guy. I could see really big pressure free throws. Mm-hmm. He's either going to be insanely calm and he's going to drill them both or... You know, the moment might be a little bit too big for him at first, and he might need to kind of get some reps before he feels confident in those things. We've kind of seen that with Keegan, that he's got to kind of spoon feed before he can just go in there and eat. And I think it'll be a similar thing with him at the line. But at the very least, it's a really good development for this team to just have somebody that maybe at the very least you can take a deep breath when he's at the line. You don't have to feel tense. Because it feels like, man, every time Domantas Sabonis walks up in that fourth quarter, it feels like he's splitting it. Every time De'Aaron Fox walks up to the line in the fourth quarter, I'm sorry, I still feel like he's splitting it. And if he's missing the first, it feels like he's probably going to miss the second too. And so I just think the more reliable that this team can get from the free throw line, of course, it just helps your variability. Just it helps it out. Just a little bit in terms of just losing games like we saw in that Milwaukee game still is going to haunt me for the rest of the season. But definitely a major positive that Keegan's hitting this much from the line.
Yeah, and now that he is hitting more, he's clearly comfortable. It's just about how can he get to the cup. And Chris and I continue to argue about Keegan's finishing and how much it's improved. And I tell Chris, he's getting there, man. That layup package, it's not ready for 2K, but it's at least getting there. He's at least getting more confident, and we love to see that. But for the rest of the season, we need you to just focus on hitting your threes because that was rough on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was rough. And
no,
that was
a lot of open looks.
You're not guarding Brunson.
Nope.
Okay?
That, OG was terrible.
OG
so
was
like
terrible.
There.
Right. That was a day where you really needed Keegan. And that flow offense, for as much as we talk about it, even against a gritty team like the Knicks, gave you plenty of open looks.
Yeah.
You just could not knock them down.
Yeah, no, and they have to be better at that. And, you know, again, I think that just a couple more threes from Keegan and HB and that game goes completely different, especially when Kevin's not shooting too. I mean, that's just another shooter that's down. You hope Keon can hit a couple. He hit one last game. Malik was incredibly inefficient from three. So was De'Aaron. Everybody couldn't really hit from the perimeter. And it's still who they are, man. Like, they need these guys to hit threes in order for their offense to look good. And, you know, if you're going to have a night where, HB, Kevin, Keegan, nobody besides Malik hits more than three threes, I mean, you're kind of cooked. Like, that is your offense. And, you know, that's really going to tell you the story unless somebody else is just on fire from three. But you went 0 of 2 from Davion, 1 of 2 from Keon, 0-2 from Herter, 1-7 for HB. I'm sorry, 1-7 for Keegan, 2-7 from HB. That just didn't happen. This is where last year and this year's comparisons, they're a little bit tough because last year it just didn't feel like these games happened. It was not a matter of if someone was going to be the third scorer. It was who was going to be the third scorer. And, you know, you just didn't have many nights where Keegan, Kevin, and HB didn't have it, but TD would usually step up. Malik would have a big game. This year, that's really been the difference. Is it's just that consistent third option has just not been there. And Malik, again, he had it going in the second half, but De'Aaron and Domas, more so De'Aaron, didn't really have his A game on Saturday. So it's kind of it's just tough where to point the finger when everybody's missing.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that I jinxed the Kings, but we did have a conversation about the losses throughout this season and how a lot of them had very obvious reasons, yeah. Whether it was the Kings just not showing the effort or somebody just going off. But this was the first one where even though Jalen Brunson did go off, it felt like they did everything right besides make their shots.
Yeah.
The game plan was correct. You got the spray three opportunities. You just could not knock them down, which is a loss that hurts, but at least there doesn't seem like there's anything foundationally wrong. They're a three-point shooting team, and when they don't make them, you're not going to win that ball game. And you'd like them to be a little bit more flexible with that and have a couple more dimensions to them, but that is just not where we're at in this point of the season with who the Kings are. When we return, we will discuss how important the next five games are for the Kings, and we'll tell you why. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Local. This is Sacktown Sports.
The Kings have some very important games against some not so great opponents. We will tell you who that is in a second. Chris, we haven't talked about Justin Fields to the Steelers. How do you feel about that move? I said you can take a little bit of a mini victory lap. I thought that Justin Fields maybe had a little bit more value than a fourth rounder, but I don't know what depreciates faster. Cars that are driven off the lot or highly drafted quarterbacks that don't have immediate success.
Sure. Yeah. It's an interesting situation for sure. Like, I don't know if Pittsburgh was the number one. Like, it would have made sense if that's for the starting job, but for him backing up, I'm surprised that that was the one that he went with. Maybe in a weird way, it's him saying, hey, Russell Wilson, I don't really believe that they're going to stick with you or you have the most likely shot of being benched. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's still something there. I'm not here to write off Justin Fields completely. I don't think that this Steelers situation is going to help him out much at all. I mean, you know, they have decent running backs in Najee and Jalen Warren, and their receiver group is okay. They just traded off Deontay Johnson, so it gets a little bit worse. Like, I just don't know if that Steelers offense is necessarily one that I would believe is going to help out Justin Fields a ton. It feels like he's going from Chicago, who had no skill position talent up until they got DJ Moore last year, who I don't really love DJ Moore, but he's a starting receiver at least, to this Steelers situation where their offense was the worst part of their team last year. So, you know, I don't know if things are going to look better for Justin Fields. He might be able to get wins, which might look better for him. But, you know, even still, he's backing up Russell Wilson. So it's how much you really believe Russell Wilson has a lock on that position.
A conditional sixth-round pick that can become a fourth-rounder. That is from Ian Rappaport. And, yeah, Ian Rappaport also said that Justin Fields had other suitors.
Yeah.
And essentially
other teams.
Yeah. That camp Justin Fields camp chose to go to the Steelers from Ian Rappaport. Speaking of Justin Fields And the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, reached out to Russell Wilson last night when the trade was going down to let him know he was the starter. And Tomlin views that as the plan. Fields will compete regardless.
Interesting. Which, I mean, it makes sense. And they're still not paying Russell Wilson much of anything. So even if they do feel like, you know, Justin Fields is the better option, it's not like it's insane for them to bench a guy like Russell Wilson because he's making like $1 million from the Steelers cap. So it makes sense. Like, you know, if you don't have, you could argue if you have two quarterbacks, then you truly have none. But at the same time, you can maybe patchwork it, right? Like not often do quarterback by committee, but
I thought about that.
You just kind of ride the hot hand, right?
Yeah, they need to figure out what Russell Wilson is still good at.
Yes.
He can still throw that long ball a little bit. And you have a gadget guy in Justin Fields. I mean, I don't know if offensively or the offensive coordinator, what they got up their sleeve. Yeah, Ian Rappaport, he also said, important note on Justin Fields' trade, at least four additional teams inquired about trading for Fields, but Fields' representation asked for him not to be traded there. He wanted the Steelers, and the Bears did right by him. And you talk about awkward. I mean, Nate and his Mason Jones take, but you talk about awkward and Russell Wilson saying, this is going to be a dope QB room. Justin Fields is saying, I want to go to the Steelers because I think I can beat you out.
Take your job.
That's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on one element, it's part of the job, but for sure, like, absolutely, Rush shouldn't overlook that Justin Fields is clearly picking the Steelers because, like you said, he looks at Russ as probably the most, like, vulnerable quarterback to lose his spot. And, you know, yeah, I mean, if you can be even just semi-successful with the Steelers, I think that's an organization that right now is just kind of looking to – You know, you asked the question of if I think initially when Russ got traded there, if you're trading for Russell Wilson, and it also applies to the Kirk Cousins, what's your goal? Like, what is the Steelers' goal for the season? And it seems to me right now if you're bringing in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as your quarterbacks, kind of feels like they're just kind of hoping for like what they always do, 8-9, 9-8.
It's bizarre.
Being scrappy and competitive.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're, you talk about purgatory.
Yeah.
The Steelers are stuck in purgatory.
Absolutely.
And maybe they're just waiting for Tomlin to drop down a little bit so they can then move on from him because I can't see the fans. I mean, I'd be excited to have Justin Fields, but just in general, they just don't really seem to have a plan to truly compete.
Yeah.
Not just go to the playoffs.
Exactly.
To actually have people afraid of you and believe that you can contend. Because they can't right now.
No, I mean, and you're right. Like, the Steelers are still one of the legacy franchises in the NFL. Like, they've got just as many Super Bowls as the Niners, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they are up there in terms of legacy. And right now they're okay with just being good or you know, being an organization that doesn't tank. They take pride in it. But at some point, everybody's got to kind of bite that bullet, and you're either going to go all in or you're going to say, let's try and rebuild this thing. And to me, this feels like they're just hanging on, and I don't get it. It doesn't feel like they're a couple moves away from being even near the all-in move. Like, if they were to make an all-in move right now, I wouldn't think that they were close enough to really justify it. So it's a really weird situation. I'm sure Justin Fields is going to start four games at least. Like, I could see him being the starter for the last month of the season. But overall, like, in the grand scheme of things, do I see Justin Fields as like the next quarterback of the Steelers the next 5 years? Probably not. But that's again more on the situation around him. Like, I just don't think you're even giving him because clearly he's not somebody who at this point in his career has elevated people. He clearly needs some weapons around him, and you look around and
Pickens doesn't want to block and people were calling, I love my guy Najee Harris, got to see him in person out there in Antioch High, but a lot of people were saying, is Najee kind of a bust? And that a lot of people want to see more Jalen Warren than Najee. So
TJ Watt's been hurt now a couple times.
So it's kind of a mess out there. But hey, good on Justin. He got out of Chicago, and good on Chicago for doing right by Justin. The Kings need to do right by themselves and the fans these next five games, as they have a combined record, the five teams, over the last 10 games each, right? So essentially 50 games. Overall, these teams have been 18-32.
Not good. Not good. Especially at this point in the season. I feel like I've said this a couple times, but it does not get easier than this. This is an absolute godsend for the Kings right now. It's just unfortunate that we probably as a collective have minimal faith that they're going to get it done. But staring you right in the face is four really easy games. Really, I mean, that 8-32, Orlando's won 8 of their last 10.
It's all Orlando, yeah.
They are doing such heavy lifting there.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are 3-7 in their last 10. Toronto's 1-9 their last 10. The Wizards are 2-8 their last 10. Orlando 8-2 their last 10. And Philly 4-6. Honestly, you need four.
Yes.
You need four. Yeah. I will accept three if it's Orlando and Philly, but you need four. You need four.
Yeah, I think you got to get four. I like, that's the number that I'm like, sure, three you can settle. I'm not going to be happy at three. I think you have to, especially again, when you look at the opponents that you have after this, you've got to do it, because after this, it's the back-to-back against Dallas. Then you have your last easy game before the last game of the season. You play Utah, and then it's Clippers, Knicks, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Pelicans, Suns, and then you end the season with the Blazers. So this is your opportunity to create whatever cushion you're going to have going into that last final stretch. This is your last chance to get a game and a half, two games over the teams like Phoenix and teams like Dallas, because if you're going to go into that Dallas back-to-back and you guys are locked up, you're putting it in fate's hands at that point. I don't know what Dallas's remaining schedule looks like after that. I can't imagine it's going to be much harder than what the Kings is. And again, we've just seen this team be so inconsistent all year. Now would be the best time for them to find, even if it is just a little small stretch of consistency, these next five games. Can three of them look easy? Can two of them at least be easy wins? Because Washington at this point is playing for nothing. Toronto at this point. I can't tell you a significant thing that the Raptors have done this year. Take care of them. I get the Magic. They're playing better. They're still fighting. They're scrappy. You took them to double or took them to overtime last time. I would understand that. But even Philly, we just saw it with the Bucks. Like, you have lost so many games in a row to Philly. It really is the same thing that I'm saying about this stretch. It's not going to get easier than Philly playing bad basketball. They're not going to have Joel Embiid
at home
after you embarrass yourself on national television last time you played them. Get it done. Just get it done. Take care of business. Eat your veggies. Mm-hmm. However you want to phrase it. This is the part of the schedule right here I have no tolerance for. You have to take care of business. Get at least four of the five. But honestly, if you're a great team, if you're a good team, if you want to be peaking at the right time, you win five straight right here.
You have to. And if the Kings want to get back, right, they need 10 more games to get back to that, 10 more wins to get back to that 48 win mark, 12 more to get to that 50 win mark, 12. If you're going to do 12 wins in 16, if you're going to pull that off, 12 wins in 16 games, you have to have at least four of these, or we can kiss 50 goodbye. Definitely. And if you go 3-2, you could probably kiss 48 goodbye because of how tough that April stretch is. When we return, oh yes, it is time. Prop talk and dog segment. You're not going to want to miss prop talk. We're on a heater. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
It is time, back by popular demand, every Kings game. We have prop talk, and then we will have our dog segment getting you ready for the drive, guys, who are on location. And we'll keep it going as we prepare for Kings and Grizzlies. All right. Let's get it. Nate has Mason Jones over under
75 claps. Seven claps? Smash the over.
Nate,
are you kidding me?
Who do you have today?
I don't yet. Go to me third.
Gotcha.
Chris?
Yeah, I always look at anytime anybody is going against Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm going to look at rebounds because he is the worst rebounding center I think I've actually ever seen in my life. And Sabonis' number, and you know, that people know, Sabonis' number is at 14. It's a little bit rich, but I do see that they have a combination here for us. Sabonis and Jaren Jackson combined 20 flat rebounds. I'll take the over on that one.
You're still going to go over.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sabonis is going to get near 14 or 15, but just to kind of hedge the bet, I'm going to hope that Jaren can get six, really, is what I'm hoping. Six yes. or seven boards from Jaren Jackson, and that one should hit pretty easily. So I'm going to go with Sabonis and Jaren Jackson combined 20 rebounds.
Okay. I am looking here. Oddly enough, they have the Demon for Harrison Barnes made threes at 2.5, but then they don't have a normal one because I was going to say Harrison two threes, but they are not
offering
that. Right,
that 1.5 is usually the one.
That's normally the go-to for Harrison. I'm going to say this is a tough one today, honestly. I don't think it's a full-blown. I don't think it's a full-blown slump for Keegan Murray. So because of that, I'm going to keep it simple and say over 14.5 points for Keegan Murray.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought just in the break you said stay away from that.
It's pretty high, but it's pretty high, but I can't do Kevin Herter. And
you said 14 flat?
14.5. 14. So he needs 15 points.
He needs 15.
After
you're not saying it very confidently at all, like you like your pick.
I'm not.
Keegan Murray.
It's a rough one. It's a rough one today.
All right. I'm ready. I'm
go
ready
ahead.
To go. We're going to do De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to come out hot. 35.5. This is points, rebounds, and assists combined. Mm-hmm. So he needs 36, just one of everything. Let's just get them all. Let's get them all going. Just a very, very good game from De'Aaron Fox, which he consistently does. That's what I want to see.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like he's been assisting more here recently.
He's been playmaking a lot.
Yeah, his shot hasn't really fallen as of late, and it feels like, let me see here. Yeah, his last three games, 7, 7, and then 9 assists. So
you know what? I'll get down on that even more. I'll just say he's going to flirt with the triple-double. He's not going to have, he's going to flirt with it. So
interesting. I think he was close to one the other day, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it, Nate. Okay.
Positivity, man. Yeah. I'm trying to change things up back here.
Yeah, you're not slick, Nate.
I've been low energy.
you're not slick, Nate.
Yeah, you can use some Mason Jones back.
I'm going to do Mason Jones high fives, taking the over, set at 50.
There you go. All right. We got them locked in. And hopefully all you listeners are following.
Right.
I would say don't do mine for the locked in. 14.5 is a little high for Keegan, but at the same time, somebody's going to have to make some shots. And after an ice-cold game, just in general, based on what they are offering today,
Keegan had 11 the other day, and he played terribly. So you
that's
just
what
need
I'm
one
saying.
More three.
Chris, what was
that's
your
what I'm
it was Sabonis rebounds?
Sabonis and Jaren Jackson Jr. combined 20 rebounds.
He said he's the worst rebounder.
He is
or worst you've ever seen.
Probably the worst big man rebounder that I've ever seen in my life. Let me see if I can put a number on that specifically. Jaren Jackson Jr., who has played all season, yes, every, let me double check every single game. He has played every single game this season at the center position. Yes, 100% at the center position for the Grizzlies. They traded Steven Adams. They have nobody. Jaren Jackson is averaging 5.6 rebounds per game.
Okay, I think we lock in Chris's. What do you think, Alan?
Lock it in.
All right, let's lock it in.
Love it.
All right, it's dog segment time. Let's get it.
That's right. Oh, man. You know what? This is almost like the Mason Jones of songs.
That's so funny because this song drives me nuts. And you guys know that.
That's right.
That's hilarious because this song...
Wow.
Never mind.
Painful, dude.
Never mind,
this
man.
This is not the beef that I saw in 2024.
Not at all.
Dude, I hope I never see him in person because I'm going to get...
I'm going to play this segment for him
if
I see him. Say, hey, You know Nate?
Yeah.
You know the Baja Men?
You know, yeah. You know Nate and the Baja Men?
Yeah.
Here. Nate said you're one and the same.
Listen to this segment. Dwayne Baker has Kayvon as his dog tonight.
Definitely not Kevin.
It's got to be somebody. All right, Chris, who is your dog tonight?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I want to go with one of Keegan or HB. I just don't love Memphis's forwards. But both of them didn't play well last game. I'll go with a Keegan bounce back.
That's what I'm saying. One of them is going to bounce back tonight. Yeah. It's just a matter of
which one. I want a big Keegan. I want like a 20. Give me 25 plus from Keegan. Mm-hmm. That's what I want tonight. Just a nice little bounce back against a bad opponent. Like just kill him, Keegan.
Again, you shouldn't have to chase anybody around.
Nope.
Nobody. Right? There's no John Morant.
Santi Aldama, dude.
Hey, he can hit though.
Dude, he can. Honestly.
He can hit. All right, Nate, who's your dog?
So last game, the Knicks game, I went Sabonis. I wanted an easy one. The only thing I was disappointed in is the low assist from Sabonis, but that's because his teammates weren't making shots. And that happens, you know. It's the Knicks. You guys all day talked about their defense.
Right.
So I'm going to go a little more difficult. Definitely a bench guy. I think I'm just going to rock with Keon, man, because we're in such a transitional phase, you know. Moving in and out. We're talking about lineup all day, too. So, Keon Ellis.
There you go. Manny, too legit. My dog is going to be Fox and Domas. I think Fox and Domas redemption game tonight. Curtis Hicks. Keegan is my dog. Yeah, as Chris and I have been going back and forth, it's either going to be Keegan or Harrison to ball out. I'm actually going to go with Harrison Barnes. He is the vet that needs to set the tone to say, hey, guys, this stretch is very important to us. Let's come out. Let's not mess around. Let's do what we need to do and stack these W's and take advantage of the opportunities that we're receiving with the Suns having to go through their own gauntlet. Thank you for the great conversations today with all the listeners. If you hopped in on the Sack Chat text line or called in, thank you very much. Thank you to Nate Littlefield and all of his contributions today. Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles, we are back at you tomorrow. But before the Grizzlies take on the Kings, you have the Drive Guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the Grizzlies beam.